I really appreciate Sunday school lesson. I was telling Brother Luke, I finished Acts. We started in Acts my first Sunday. And last Sunday, we finished Acts chapter 11. And my wife and I, some of us men, we kind of joke around. I have 226, I don't remember, typed pages of my personal notes in Acts. And it's been a great blessing to me for what I've learned so far. But I'm thankful for that Sunday school lesson. I'm thankful for the ability to learn. You know, and I pray that's our heart. That's been mine. Pray for our church. You know, all things are well back home. Pray for the men. I had a man step up and handle our Sunday school, our teen Sunday school class that I'm teaching for now until we added it. And I have a young gentleman. Matter of fact, it's a wonderful story, and I'll take 10 seconds to share with you. I have a young gentleman. He's 23 years old, was an atheist. In the military, his wife, was the daughter of our church treasurer. She didn't live at home and was gone, and the Lord worked, brought him back. Lord brought them up to Kentucky from North Carolina, and the Lord saved his soul. They have a couple of kids. He's become the most zealous member as far as sharing the gospel that I've seen in a New Testament Baptist church in decades. And he's begun to tease, taught a few lessons. Admittedly, I was nervous. I'm sure probably how Pastor Titus felt the first time he asked me to preach or teach. And the Lord blessed him. And so he prayed for that young man. And the Lord's blessed me with some good men. And I was so thankful to see 11 of you, as I counted, standing up there singing your faithfulness, your steadfastness. I appreciate that. But you pray for the men that are teaching, as Brother Derek Hall takes the morning. And we have nursing home services every Sunday, second Sunday of every month. These nursing home residents just faithfully are waiting for us. And if we are late, they let us know. And so you pray for that. And we, during the summer months, we take the last Sunday afternoon of every month and we preach in the park. In the center of Murray. Up until last year, we've never had a visitor. Nobody ever wanted to listen. Last year, we had several. One came to church from that. Now, that one that came to church, I had to run off. Ended up being a little bit of a problem, but that's all in the Lord's hands. It's the beauty of knowing that people are listening. This Sunday, back home, our church has had a burden to help in some ways. We've had a burden for some Spanish work, some Spanish ministry. This time of year, as tobacco crop gets in the ground, there's many, many migrant workers. There's bunk houses on the way from our house, real close to where Brother Daryl Titus is in Sedalia. As you know, we're about 4 minutes away from Blessed Hope there in Sedalia. Brother Daryl told me on Thursday that I left my garage door open on Wednesday as I went to church, and I did because he passes there every day, and every time he goes to church. But we had a burden for this Spanish ministry, and by God's grace, the Lord gave us the opportunity starting this week to, after services, to have the church. They're going to drive over to Gracie, Kentucky, which is about an hour from the church, an hour farther than we're. Most of our church has to drive about an hour to church, and Gracie's another hour. And the Lord gave them and all of us a unified burden to go help Brother Enrique Cantu at the Spanish ministry once a month. So pray for our church today. I told them after we figured it out, I said, y'all know I'm not going to be here. They needed some help. Brother Enrique needed help with leading the singing, with having a piano player that didn't have one that could play for the Spanish work, with food. Because these people work throughout the day, and then they come in, and the Lord's blessed even in that ministry out of the church there in Julian and Faith Baptist in Clarksville to have several preaching points. So you pray for them, and pray for us that we'd learn. Again, that's been our heart for some time. So pray for our church as you would. I'm thankful, like I said, to be here. I'm not going to belabor a whole lot. I I'm a long-winded preacher, and I'm going to try to cut it down. The Lord has worked a lot in me, in learning, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful He's not done teaching me things. I'd like you to open your Bibles to Psalms 57. The first message I ever preached in this church was Psalms 56. And it was because my favorite verse was Psalms 56:3. And I'm nearly positive that I probably preached that entire message out of context. I'm nearly positive I did. And I think about that often. And, you know, as Brother Luke was talking about this morning, I told you I really appreciated that Sunday school lesson. As Brother Luke was talking about it this morning, I actually had a burden about a year ago to start trying to find out how I could study the Bible in a chronological order. And we found that, and our church, the majority of us have been having a daily Bible reading to understand the Bible in a chronological, historical context. And it's been very good for me. I've learned a lot, and I look forward. We'll finish it in October. We'll read through the Bible about the middle of October, and then we plan to start again just to see what else we can learn. And I think that one of my many burdens has really been looking at myself. I think when I preach, you know, sometimes I get frustrated because it seems like I'm so angry. I'm just angry with me. I'm frustrated with me. That's really what I want to go with today. I want to ask you this thought. Well, we'll read our text verse first in Psalms 57, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity that we have to meet back here with these people that have been so near and dear to us, Lord, that we've grown up with, that we've watched, that have set an example before me. Lord, I thank you for them. I pray that you'd be with us as we preach, Lord, that Lord, you would humiliate us so that you would be lifted up, Lord, that your message would just go forth as you'd see fit. Lord, help us as we speak. In Jesus' name, amen. Middle of February of this year, I was still in a different position at the dealership. I was working out of the Mayfield store, and as I sit here, I've been there almost 2 years. This verse speaks completely of the last 2 years. You know, I did not prepare for the ministry like I should have. I did not do things that I should have. And that caused me to work, and I'm very thankful that I've been able to work. I've just now gotten to the point where I'm so thankful that the Lord has given me a job and given me an understanding of things I need to learn. Back in November, or October, I should say, I probably should go back a little farther. I finally had told my boss, I said, "Listen, I don't want to be in this position that I'm in anymore. I did not get in this position to manage people. The stress that I have on me, the amount of labor that I have to put in is horrible. And for the amount of stress and time that I spend in this job, I could go back to doing what I was doing and at least be able to have more income and hopefully not have to do it as long." And so the Lord moved me into a different position, and I was thankful for it. Came with its own new set of challenges. But it didn't feel like it was going to stick very long. Things continued to change. And in February, I've been buying cars again for the store. Of course, that's what they hired me to do, and I didn't do that very long. And I was thinking and talking with my wife. In 2 years, I've never had 3 months of consistent income without an income change. It's been good and then cut down to nothing, and then been good and then cut down to nothing, or kind of good. It's been affliction, as you could say it. In February, I was listening to Home Baptist Conference message. I was listening to Brother Parvin Hall, which many of you know, and if you don't know, Brother Hall was a man that suffered a great many afflictions in his ministry, and he was also the pastor of the church that I pastor. I'm now the second longest tenured pastor that the church has had, next to Brother Hall. The church there in Murray has been a great blessing to me, but they've suffered a great many affliction too. And I was listening to the message, and he opened with this text, and it resonated with me. Then you fast forward to May 1st. I was sent to go buy cars. I come into my office on May 2nd and was let go. Now people say, well, that's not what it was. Well, I can just tell you this. I fast forwarded this week. This is how the Lord has worked. The Lord has allowed me to start buying cars. We have 10 stores. We just bought 2 more. I had to go into my file in the Mayfield store and get my new hire paperwork, and my discharge paperwork was in there. I had to get all my new hire paperwork out to go give it to more stores. You know, we don't understand what the Lord does. And that's really what I wanted to preach to you today. Why are we afflicted? We have to be okay with affliction. We have to learn from it. We have to want it. We have to have a desire to be taught. In Psalm 57, if we're, again, going with the same thing that our brother Luke said in Sunday school, David is in the cave of Adullam. I don't know exactly how to say it. You all know I'm not an English scholar. He goes into hiding because Saul is pursuing him. He says, "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me. For my soul trusteth in thee." He had put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. He had put his faith and trust in his Savior before he put his trust in himself. He had demonstrated a faith. "Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed." Calamities, these difficulties. Listen, we don't like affliction. We don't like difficulty. We don't like to be uncomfortable. We don't like to have these things that make our life tough. Sometimes they happen sitting in a church pew. And you might think that, or they might happen in your Sunday school class, or they'll happen in life. And I appreciate when someone coaches me harshly. My boss there at the Mayfield store and I, which I still work for, I buy more cars for that store, which is ironic, than any other store. He is very kind in a way, but he doesn't just tell me the way it is, and I appreciate that because I want to learn. And sometimes that's how our preaching has to go. We just have to say it like it is. Amen. And I know from being a church member that that's a hard thing to hear. Amen. But that's the learning. Verse number 2, I remember every time I go to work. When I went through all that I went through, I said, when this became a possibility to buy cars, I said, I don't want a salary. They probably weren't going to give me one anyway. I said, because when you don't need me, I don't want you to have me. I want to go do the work that I am here in Western Kentucky to do. And I look down at verse number 2, and I just buy cars. I drive 1,500 miles a week. It's been a great blessing. I get a lot of time to meditate. I get a lot of time to think on Scripture. I get a lot of time to listen to preaching. And I think about verse 2. "Unto God that performeth all things for me." That is my prayer as I walk into an auction every day, not knowing if I'm going to waste my time or not. Lord, just perform. Do what you would have me to do. If that means absolutely nothing, then it's absolutely nothing. That should be our heart. But that's my introduction this morning. We see David praying for mercy, seeking out God, remembering to trust in God as confidence, yet he was not aware of the outcome or trying to make it into that way. Crying to God, the one who performs all things in us, that's what we should do. Go to Psalms 119. As we get in, really, and I'm going to hasten along as quickly as I can. I've made it to that point in my ministry where I can't hear enough preaching. I can't preach enough. I was invited just after all that happened with work in March to preach, be one of the two preachers that preached five times down in Independence Baptist Church in Wright City, Missouri for Brother Wayne Reynolds. And it wasn't enough. I had more to preach, more messages. Oh, I have a desire to preach. But this passage went together hand in hand for me, and it's been personal to me. In Psalms 119, it's at verse 65. I just want to cause all of you as... Let me say it this way. Family. My home is in Western Kentucky. I love Western Kentucky. My home is not in Northwest Ohio. I grew up in Northwest Ohio, but you are my family. And in these verses, I want to show you what the Lord has placed on my heart. In verse number 65, "Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Thou art good and dost good. Teach me thy statutes." Down to verse 71. "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." Verse 75. "I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hath afflicted me." I remember these words. In verse number 65, we see the blessing of being able to recognize God's chastening. Brothers and sisters, when you are afflicted, when life is difficult, when Pastor Titus or your soon-to-be Pastor Tim, I call him Tim, he's Pastor Kavanaugh to you. We got to grow up together, so I can call him Tim, you call him Pastor Kavanaugh. But when Pastor Kavanaugh comes up and he preaches something, and listen, let me tell you something. It's bittersweet to come in, and my pastor's sitting back there. I still call him pastor. That's still my reference to him. And it's bittersweet for what you all have to go through. And it's the thankfulness of the carrying on for more generations. But when I look back and I look at these things and I think back to some of the teachings and I think about me sitting back in the same church pew for years and years and years and being wasteful, angry, upset, and difficult because I was afflicted, I was told I was wrong, or I didn't have a spirit of teachableness that was within me. How wrong and terrible was I? See, my own dad amen me. Don't we recognize how good affliction is? Listen, we're so easily offended. I know I am. Maybe you're not. We're so easily offended when something cuts us and changes us and goes against our natural grain. We shouldn't be that way. This is a place of learning. This is a place of growing. This is a place where if we come in, we should have an expectation that we're going to hear something that we don't understand, or we're going to hear something that we're doing wrong. Amen. Brother Luke was all over it this morning in Ephesians chapter 4. And that was the message that the Lord almost, I thought the Lord was leading me to preach. The word "some" is very important. You find that when you're part of the some, see, I've been here and I know, we all know about the local church. And we've been preached to for years and years about the local church. And it gets to the point where we go, I don't want to hear about the local church anymore. But you're wrong because you're part of the sum. You get to be in the local church. You get to have a pastor. You get to be here. There's people all across this world that do not have the blessings that we have. Yet we want to walk around and act like we're afflicted. No, we need affliction. Verse number 65, thou hast dealt well with thy servant. Can you say that? Can you say that the Lord has dealt well for you? It should call you to remembrance of what the Lord has done for you. Listen, I'm 32 years old. 15 years ago, you had to discipline me for the way that I was living. Because I wasn't living to a standard in which I was supposed to live. Teach me thy ways, O Lord. Thank you, Lord, for bringing that to me. On December 24th of 2023, I was at the lowest point in my entire adult life, and I was a member sitting right back there in a church pew. I wasn't the way I should have been. I didn't live the way I should have been. I didn't desire to grow in the Lord the way I should have. And I walked around angry like everybody was against me. Why do we do that? Why? Because we don't follow the Lord. I wasn't. We have an expectation for what we want. We don't submit and surrender to what the Lord wants for us. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant. Can you say that? Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Folks, are you teachable? Unfortunately, and I think Pastor Titus and Brother Bob would agree with me, we've run into far too many people that know it all, that can't be taught. I've preached about people's faces from the pulpit. You know, people are pretty good at masking their faces from the pulpit. They're not when they're all caught out in public off guard. I've dealt with a situation recently where I've had somebody say, well, they live differently out in the world. And I'm like, you know what? So does everybody else. You shouldn't. Why are you going to... Yeah, church is full of hypocrites. Why do you think we're here? Are you perfect yet? Have you been thoroughly furnished? Have you done everything that you're supposed to do? That's where I just get so frustrated at my own self. I get so frustrated at people like me. I've preached so often to our church. If you grab any message on YouTube, you're probably going to hear me say, don't be like me. Because I sat so often in a church pew upset and offended and disgusted, and I should have been upset at my own self. I wasn't growing and I wasted too much time. I believe we're wasting a lot of time today. I believe we're wasting a lot of opportunity to grow. Why? Because in verse 67 it says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. Do you know why we have to be afflicted? Because when life is really good, we forget God. And then we have pride in two levels. One level is, well, I forgot him, so I don't want to go back to him now. Or we just don't want to go back. December 24th. It was December 26th of 2023. I had so much pride, I couldn't pray. I couldn't read. I couldn't study. But I'll tell you what I do remember. I remember the Lord placing me face down on the dirt that I owned there on County Road A, out against the field, and begging for forgiveness. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me. Because I missed the affliction. Sometimes I really think that we lose track of our... How do I want to say it? trying to say it as nicely as I can. You know, if you look around the room, you might be thinking, oh, somebody needs to hear this message. That somebody's probably you instead of you looking around the room. You know, would you believe it that people in this church have probably offended each other? Have you ever been offended by each other? Have you ever been offended by your Sunday school teacher, your pastor, your best friend? Guess what? Everybody has. And that affliction is there for learning. You can take it, you can be angry, you can run, or you can say, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? Verse 67, before I was afflicted, I went astray. Well, the Lord afflicted us to bring us back to Him. See, that's the thing. That's what we don't want to talk about. Affliction is a great teacher of lessons. They may be hard. They may cause patience. One of the things our church says, they'll probably listen to my message. And they'll laugh because I've said this to them as of late over and over again. The men at my church will say, I don't want to pray for patience because then the Lord's going to give me some. No, you pray for patience. We need it. We need it. We need that, those patient lessons. You know, why did the psalmist here, and by the way, Psalms 119, they say it's David, they say it's Ezra, they say it's this person. It's not completely revealed to us. And so we're just not going to know. And that's not the whole point. It's the living word. It's everything that we need. It's complete. So we don't know who the writer is here, but we know that the writer is saying that there is consequences to not living to God's standards. Now what I can't understand in my mind, I've got to throw this in there because it's kind of funny. Sister Janet tells me that I'm autistic. She says I'm neurodivergent autistic, that people just don't understand. I just can't understand why people don't think like me. It probably makes sense. I told the church they all laughed at me, so you're not going to offend me. I'll just walk away afflicted. So to me, it's very simple. If you're not living the way you're supposed to, well, you're going to be afflicted. So why, when you're afflicted, do you want to say, woe is me? Right? I mean, that's where we live. No. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept thy word. You see in that verse a turning point. The psalmist is looking back to the moment in which he was afflicted. He wasn't where he was supposed to be. That God in his faithfulness has afflicted him, but now that he sees it, he's back where he's supposed to be. Amen. You see that turning in affliction, that coming back in affliction. You know, I have so much and so little time, so we're going to skip a lot. I want you to understand that there's blessings in affliction. You know, if it was up to us, we'd go the wrong direction every time. I'm not going to read it in Psalms 50, verse 15. You can speak here a little bit more on affliction. Can we be thankful that God is faithful to care for us when we're not faithful to serve Him? Amen. I think about years and years and years, folks, of sitting back there in that church pew, being a stiff-necked Christian. I said something wrong last week in a message. I had a brother call me out and say, hey, I'm offended that you said that. And I said, okay. And I'm thankful for him. And he was absolutely right. He said, if you're going to say something like that, don't say a blanket statement. Last week I had the audacity, and believe it or not, folks, your pastor is going to be wrong from time to time. And I want you to understand that, because church people and church members can sometimes be the most critical people This wasn't even a church member of mine that called me. It was a dear brother that ordained me. Church people can be the most critical and difficult people and not understand that your pastor is just a man. Amen. And you need to understand that, especially bringing in a new pastor. Amen. I had made this statement. I haven't got to tell our church this yet, but I know they'll receive it well. People in Ohio and Michigan don't drive an hour to church. The brother respectfully said, no, I have this person and this person and this person. I said, you know, brother, you're right. That was wrong of me. And as I did some self-examination, I can tell you this shamefully, folks. I remember a time in which I sat in this church and I didn't want to be here anymore. Yet I didn't want to drive an hour to church. I didn't want to drive to the nearest church. But for the grace of God, that's all I can say. Because I wasn't where I was supposed to be. My affliction seemed like it lasted years, but each and every lesson of my affliction that I learned, I get to use now. The Lord has brought it full circle for me, and I'm not done being afflicted. As I was leaving Friday, I talked to the store that's caused me all the problems and found out all my bosses were going to a meeting this weekend or next week, and it's all on used car acquisition. And I go, I almost made it 3 months having a consistent pay plan and I almost had some consistency. And then I thought, who cares? Who cares? That might be my new affliction, or it might come in a different way. Who cares? Lord's going to be faithful to preserve me regardless of what's going to happen next. I think back to Psalms 57, and I wanted to share it with you. There's nothing new in the Bible. There's nothing new that I can offer you. But if anything, I'm preaching to me today. If you don't need any of this, Psalms 57 to me is my daily reminder that God performs all things in me and for me. And He might even be performing or allowing the affliction so that you draw back to Him. And I had this thought. You can find how affliction brings us back to God in John 16, verse number 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation or affliction. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. If I was saying, I would say to my family, you're going to suffer affliction. That's just part of life. But we ought to be looking to the day when we no longer have affliction. We ought to be just keeping our eyes steadfast on that and taking each and every lesson that we can learn along the way and what we can learn from it. I had this other thought. I really want to share this, and I'm going to hasten through these next two things really quick. But if you were to watch our YouTube stream, I bet I preach an hour more than I preach anything else. And I'm going to try very respectfully not to do that to you all today. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 15. For we have not a high priest. I'll let y'all get there. Hebrews 4, verse 15 and 16, if you're taking notes. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Jesus has felt our very afflictions. A few weeks back, maybe months ago now at this point, I don't remember, we were studying in systematic theology. Brother Luke let me borrow a book, and I never give it back. I've been using it for quite some time. I have the expanded, several versions of the expanded systematic theology, and then I have Brother Tom Ross's binded book that I still haven't given back to him. I will someday, brother. But we've been studying through that, and we got to the humanity of Christ, and it just struck with me. And we walk around so much like, oh, our life is so difficult. We act like we need, and I'm not against medicine. Don't run with me here. I've not gone crazy. But we act like we need the best psychiatrist to help us. We act like we need this and we need that. Folks, go look at Jesus Christ. You have abandonment issues? His disciples abandoned him in the garden as he was praying. You have issues with your anger? Yep, Jesus righteously drove the money changers out of the temple. You're tired? You should be tired for the right reasons, not tired for the wrong reasons. There's a storm in the middle of the sea of Galilee, and Jesus is asleep on a pillow. That's just to name a few. Listen, if we're here and we're saved, Jesus has been tempted. For me, it was Luke 23, verse 2. I was falsely accused. That's why they decided to get rid of me, for falsifying reports that made absolutely no sense. But for the grace of God, I still have a job. Jesus was also falsely accused. Jesus didn't, you know, where does our affliction come from? Money short? Time is short? You don't like the fact that Pastor Titus or Pastor Kavanaugh is going to preach to you and tell you something that you didn't want to hear? I've been preaching through a series on 2 Peter chapter 1. And everybody likes to read in 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 18 and 9, or 19 and 20 that we have a more sure word of prophecy. Therefore, we do well if we take heed. And I paraphrase that a little bit. Oh, we love the King James Version of the Bible. We love it. We absolutely love it. But we spend so few time. I know I did. I'm preaching to myself. As I sat here, I didn't know what it said, and I certainly didn't want to let it tell me how to live my life. Amen. And we have a lot of us that we go, oh, we're King James only. We don't know anything about it. Amen. We don't know how to study it. That Sunday school lesson, you take heed to that. Amen. Adults, take heed to that. Teach the children that. Challenge them. And let it purify your life. We like to take those verses out. We forget what the first part of 2 Peter chapter 1 says. You know, we get upset. We have people that come into the church, and it so breaks my heart when we have visitors or new people come in. And I can say this because, first of all, you're my family. And second, we're all, for the most part, multi-generational believers. What we do very well is we know how to walk like Baptists, talk like Baptists, act like Baptists, but we don't know how to worship the Lord as we should. Amen. And what I mean by that is not meant to indict anybody, but it's the fact that when somebody new walks in, we totally forget the fact that they might still be saved, but they're on the milk. That they're not where you're at. And then you look at their life, and we look at them. We get mad at our own affliction. We see somebody, like I told you, this 23-year-old is on fire for the Lord. Lord saved his soul. And we forget that the Lord is the teacher of all things. He was a paratrooper in the 82nd Airborne Division at Fort Bragg. He got there, I was told, while we were still here, I was told a little bit about him, baptized him and his wife. And every time, Kentucky folks, if you don't know, it's hot and humid. I would invite all of you to come to our Bible conference in July. It was such a tremendous blessing last year. And it was 107 degrees. Here comes Brother Keaton with long sleeves on every time because he's tattooed from here to here all the way down. He doesn't want to be a discouragement to anybody. Because he sees that as an issue. He's a plumber. And people tell him, he tells us all the time, people come up to him and his arms are colored. I mean, he just has a ton of artwork on his arms. And people go, I really like your tattoos. And he'll look at them and go, yeah. They remind me of how I was before the Lord saved my soul. Do you know Jesus Christ? And that's his heart. And he looks at that, and he talks about the times that he didn't know. And folks, that's the teachableness. We lose fact. We lose sight of the fact that we have a Savior that feels our infirmities, that we have a Savior that we can go to. The first thing that we do when we get upset at the preaching, the first thing that we do when we get upset at each other is we go and we rant and rave and talk about it or put it on social media or cause this problem or worse, we hold some sort of grudge. That's not how a church is designed to operate. The psalmist here in verse 68 says, "Thou art good and dost good." Can you say that as you've been afflicted? I will tell you, I had a complete panic attack on Wednesday when I was let go. Total. I was sitting in the eye doctor's office. And I'm like, I needed glasses. And I'm thinking, why am I even here? I don't need to spend money on glasses. I don't have a job. I go, and I was in Murray, and I go back to the church, cried my eyes out. You know, we have a new baby on the way and all of these things. And then I just felt the Lord. And it didn't matter. And I thought, Lord, you're good in the affliction. This month, I've bought 39 cars already. I will, at the end of the month, start working for 7 of the 10 stores. I deal directly with David Taylor, the general managers. Something could change tomorrow, but I'm not worried about it. That just means I have something more to learn. I'm thankful that the Lord has given me a spirit of teachableness. I'm thankful for people that want to teach me. The brother that called me and told me that, I'm thankful for him, and I told him so. I wasn't mad at him in the slightest. I'm thankful for that. As we finish up and as we close in a minute, verse 71 says, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted." I want you to think about that. Can you say it's good that you've been afflicted? You know, for many of my years, I thought the most important job that I needed to do worked and revolved around Terry Hendricks Chrysler. And doing a good job to take care of the people there, make all the money that I could, keep my children from financial difficulty. Boy, was I wrong. Got to Murray, Kentucky. Had suffered great difficulty in the last 2 years. At one point a year ago, going back about 9 months, I thought my ministry was over at that church because of an issue that had arisen. The Lord brought us through that. Taught me a lot. There is no fault. I believe wholeheartedly there is no fault of my own. And that makes you say, why, God? That's not for us to say. I can look back now and I can say, it is good for me that I have been afflicted. And I'd like to say, it is good for me that I will be afflicted. I want to draw closer to the Lord. I got to baptize 2 of my children. Lord's added 7 people to the church. We've got some visitors that Sister Jan Bly was a charter member at Streamwood in Illinois for over 50 years. Just felt the burden to move to Murray, Kentucky. Hadn't been to the church. Her husband is lost. Has no desire for church, and Jerry doesn't miss a Sunday. A couple weeks back, I saw him come in with a Bible. And he's trying to follow along. I'll take all the affliction to see people draw closer to the Lord, to see people saved. I don't want to see you run from affliction. I don't want to see you try to do anything on your own. I want you to get to verse 75, and I want you to understand, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness had afflicted me. Listen, as we close this thought, as we close this time, David walked into the cave to hide from Saul. He did not know what the outcome was going to be. We know that the Lord showed David by way of example that he could bring Saul right to him, keep him asleep, and cut off the hem of his garment. That's God performing. I don't have it all figured out. I'm going to do more wrong than I'm going to do right. But I know that I'm thankful for affliction. And I really, truly mean that. I'm thankful to watch people grow. I don't want to see you run from affliction. I don't want to see you be upset or bitter at your pastor or at your brothers and sisters because you've been afflicted. I desire to see us serving. I think if I was to summarize my life before the Lord called me to pastor, and I'm so thankful that the Lord called me to pastor. There is no better place for me than a pastor of one of the Lord's true New Testament Baptist churches. I'm thankful that He's given me that ability. I don't know why that He counted me faithful, as Paul says, but I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful for His grace and mercy. Because without His grace and mercy, I don't know where I would be. Probably not here. I want you to understand that learning is something that's done individually. Most of the time I talk to kids, and we started a youth group too. And most of the time I talk to kids, and kids don't understand why they're afflicted. They just get angry and bitter because they're told what to do. I was also told I was fired, kids, so just don't ever forget that somebody's always going to tell you what to do. And when nobody's telling you what to do, let me explain it this way, and I'll close. God has His will can be described in two different ways. There's God's will of approbation. Let me simplify that for you. It's this. God has already given us a Bible that we are required to live by. Your parents are probably trying to get you to live according to that Bible. And parents, if you're not living that way, how in the world are you going to expect your children to? If you're upset at affliction, how are you going to expect them to get through affliction? You should be teaching through the affliction. And then there's God's secret will, the things that are going to be revealed in time. Those things that we don't know about yet. We need to be okay with being afflicted. If you're here and you're lost today, you don't have. You don't have that comfort. You don't know what faithfulness God has afflicted you in. You don't have a relationship with Him. People always describe, lost people say they try to get closer to God. You can't. You're without Him. You need to see yourself as a sinner, and you need to submit and surrender your life to Jesus Christ. People, it's not free will to say that your responsibility is to submit to the Lord. Salvation is very simple. We as Baptists don't always do a very... I, as a Baptist, don't always do a very good job at that. Listen, if you're here and you never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're lost, you're dead, and your trespasses and sins, and you're on your way to hell. and I make no apology for it. The same type of preaching saved my soul back here in July of 2009. You need to see Jesus and just submit to whatever the Lord would have you to do, and the Lord will save you just the way you are. And He'll make you what He ought to be. If you're here and you're saved and you've never professed it, you've never come before this church and asked for scriptural baptism, why? Why? Because you're offended? Because you don't like the church? Because you don't like these people? You got it all wrong. You're missing the biggest blessing. Take it from me. Don't be the example that I was. Pastor Titus.